Start reading. I was going to read chapter 40 of Isaiah. It's a wonderful chapter, and it goes in with our recent Sunday school lessons too. It says, chapter 40 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We just were studying John the Baptist, and that's where he got that scripture from. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and I said, he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, thou that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. You know, that's a picture of the gentleness of God. You know, he gently leads those with young. And but it goes on to say, who measureth the waters in the hollow of his hand. Amen. Yeah. And he measureth out the heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and shewed him the way of understanding? Behold, all nations are as a drop in the bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted as less than nothing in vanity. You know, it speaks of the power of God, the strength of the hills is his. You know, the sea is his, and he made it. All these great things, he formed the earth. You know, he formed the earth and put the stars in place. All those things, all those great, wonderful things. And when I was young, I thought it was a butterfly, but I think it was more like a moth. And I probably did a butterfly too. But if you touch their wings, the powder, like their scales, will come off in your fingers. And them little scales will come off. They're very delicate, the butterfly wing and a moth wing. It's like chalk that just comes off. Yeah. And I thought about that, you know, how great God is. He's the one to put them where they belong on that butterfly. He's the one that put them there. How delicate, you know, is God's hand. And yet the strength of the hills is his. You know, it's a marvelous thing how God can do. And I've noticed over the years how gentle God is with me, you know, and with us. He knows our needs. He knows what we need. He knows our weaknesses. The devil knows our weaknesses and tries to use them against us. But God sees our weakness and tries to get us stronger. You know, he sees where we're going to fall. He picks us up. You know, I thank God for his mercy. It says he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom. You know, when you can't walk, he'll carry you. You know, he'll carry you in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And I remembered that Jacob had the same sort of thing in the book of Genesis chapter 33. I'm glad I could look it up on my computer. It jumped right to it where it is. It's Genesis chapter 33. I'll begin with 1. It said, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph innermost. You know, he put Rachel behind because he loved her the best. You know, and the idea was if Esau attacked them, the ones behind could have a chance to escape and run away. And he put Leah after them and Rachel innermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him. That was a wonderful thing. He ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaids came near and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel. Joseph was just a young child then, but he come near with Rachel, and they bowed themselves. I think it was Benjamin, not born yet, you know, not wasn't born yet. And they bowed themselves, and he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that which thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. Esau accepted the gift, and he said, "Let us take our journey," Esau says, "and let us go, and I will go before thee." And he said unto him, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if any man should drive them one day, or overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly according to the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir." You know, he was concerned about the flock, Jacob was. That's what he was. He was a shepherd. You know, he was a shepherd concerned about the flock. And he said, "You can't overdrive them. Just for one day, it would kill them." You know, and he said, "I've got to lead them softly." You know, and I think about how many times God has dealt softly with me, you know, and over the years. And I felt his hand. You know, he could have dealt harshly. I would have deserved it. You know, I would have deserved harsh punishment. I've been a Nazi. I've been in all those things. I've been all that wickedness and evil. But God had mercy on me, and it was the goodness of God that led me to repentance. His goodness, you know, and he cares about us, you know, even though he created the hills and the mountains and all that. And I was thinking about it. He could take this earth and crush it like a tomato, just squeeze it, you know, and just kill everything on it if he wanted to. Just crush it like you would a piece of fruit. You know, but he's merciful, and he knows how to do. You know, he knows us. He knows our weaknesses. All these things. It's just so wonderful to think about him. I don't have a whole lot to say other than I appreciate God and his mercy toward me. I needed mercy. I needed help. And when I come to him, he had what I needed, you know, every time. And back in school, we used to take attendance. I thought about that for probably more of a testimony than preaching. But you would call somebody's name, and they would say, "Here," you know. And the Bible says, "Forget not all his benefits," you know, all of God's benefits. And I could probably say, "Is healing here?" And you would say, "Here," you know, "I've been healed, I know." Hallelujah. Is mercy here? Here, you know. What about grace? Here, you know, hallelujah. What about comfort? Here, you know, I thank God. When my wife died, it's probably the worst thing that I ever had to endure. When my wife died, Geneva passed away, and I knew God was the only one that could ever comfort me over that, yeah. Such a thing. You know, I know a brother, Brother Irvin was worried about his wife and the same thing. And I thought, I had that thought in the back of my head, you know, when I lost Geneva, and I wouldn't want it to happen to anyone else, you know. And but the Lord came to me in a dream. I think I've told about it here. I saw him in a dream, and he did it, I think. Well, he does everything on purpose, you know. He don't do it for nothing. And I believe it was a dream from him. You know, it wasn't just a hamburger dream or pizza, pepperoni or something, you know. It wasn't that. But I was there, and I heard a voice, two voices, and it was kind of dark, but it was light toward where the voices were. And one voice was saying, what about, and I can't remember the exact people, but it said, what about Billy Harris? And the other voice said, don't worry about him, he's with me. And what about Brother Alan Newcomb? And he said, oh, I've got him, don't worry about him. And I couldn't see, so I turned and I started going to where that voice was. I said, this conversation, what's going on? And I went up, and there was the Lord standing, and I wonder, who's he talking to? And I looked, and it was me standing there. I'm sitting there looking at myself over there. And I went around, I walked around, I circled around. I remember circling around, and I walked right into the back, the back of me, where I was. And I, all of a sudden, I was looking through my own eyes, you know. And I stood there, and I had a few more people I was asking about them, probably mentioned Geneva. But the actual list was taken from me. I can't remember what I said. But every single one I brought up, they said, oh, the Lord said, don't worry about them. I've got them. They're with me. They're fine. You know, I've got them. You know, they're with me. And every single one I mentioned, he said, they're saved. And then he got to end that list, and he signaled for me like this. Come here. I'm for a hug, you know, come here. And I went and I hugged him. And I remember hugging him, and my eye and my mouth was like 2 inches away from his ear. And I said to myself, if you're going to ask him anything, you better ask him now. And I started to cry. I said, Lord, I said, what about me? Am I going to make it? And here, all the other answers were rapid fire. You know, yeah, he's there with me. She's with me. I've got him. Don't worry. And his lips fell silent. You know, when I asked that question, I said, what about me? Am I going to make it? His lips fell silent. And I remember looking back, because I was on his shoulder. My chin was on his shoulder. And I looked back at his face, and there was no anger in his face. I thought, well, that's good. And I said, well, Lord, why won't you tell me? Why won't you tell me? And instead of doing that, we have a little signal at home when you're hugging like that. Where I was still hugging him, you give a little extra bear hug, a little squeeze to let you know to let go. You know, it's kind of like when I would say goodbye to my mama, I'd hug her and she'd give me that little squeeze. You know, it's time to go to school. You know, go on. And he gave me that little hug, but when he did it, he put the answer into my heart. And I remember that, and I think that's the way it's going to be in heaven. You know, when we get there, we're going to have knowledge put into our heart just instantly. And when he did that, I said, oh, I know why you won't tell me, Lord. I know why. I said, if you told me I wasn't going to make it, that would take all the wind out of my sails. You know, I just, it would be no point in living, you know, hardly. I don't think I mentioned that, but I said, it'd take all the wind out of my sails completely. And then I said, if you said I was going to make it, I'd slack right up right then, wouldn't I? I said, I'd slack right off, and I'd start goofing off and you know, just say, oh, well, the Lord said I'm going to make it, so I can live any way I want, because he said I'm going to make it, and I believe his word. You know, that's exactly what I do. He wouldn't tell me. And there was other scriptures come to me too. You know, it's appointed unto man once to die. And I was only dreaming. I didn't die. You know, after I'm gone, he'll let me know, I'm sure. You know, and it's not that I don't have a salvation that's not a no-so salvation. You can know that you're saved. You can know you're a Christian. You can know about it. You know, and when I was in the Lutheran church, they said, oh, you don't know till you're gone. You don't know. And we sin every day and all this carrying on. But he let me know, praise God, you know, when he did that, He let me know, and also Paul. When you read the writings of Paul, he says, "I don't account myself to have attained, you know. But every day I strive for that high mark, for the high calling of God, you know. And like I say, He knows my shortcomings. He knows where I failed. He knows my weakness, you know. He knows all, and He gently leads us." Like He says in the Word, He's the good shepherd. He gave His life for the flock. You know, He gave His life. He that caused Him, that makes Him that good shepherd. The other shepherds, they fled. You know, when the wolf came, they would flee. But He gave His life for the flock, and He will gently lead those that are with young. And I praise God. The other day I saw Brother Gary with a little grandchild, the little ninth one, I think it is, number nine. And it's such a little baby. And Brother Gary is kind of a big guy, you know. And I saw him with a little, what a contrast, you know, carrying that little infant, you know, around and caring for it. And he had it back there. And I thought about that. But I don't think of Gary as being a babysitter much. But he sure did the job, you know. He sure did it. And I thought, how much more, you know, is God concerned over us? And He knows, you know, like a father would take care of a child, a grandfather in this case. But God is good. And every time I need something, He's got it for me. Everything, if I need money, He's got it. If I need help, like I said, if I need comfort, He's got it for me. He's just got everything. And there's just no one like Him. There's none like Him at all. You know, and let's come around the altar and give thanks to God for His mercy, His loving kindness.